You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Two Goalies, One Mic, episode 84. I am Cullyless. He is on the ice. This is kind of like a last second thing, short notice. So sorry for you, those who want to hear Cully. I apologize. But we have from Bar Down Buffalo, DJ Mock at The Real DJ Mock, here to join us to discuss topics at hand. The Brad Marchand 6-game suspension, rightfully so. He is a scumbag and absolutely deserves it. For the sucker punch and high stick to goaltender Tristan Jarry out of Pittsburgh. And then we're going to get into some Olympics. The men tournament started today. Huge upset in their Olympics debut. First time ever playing the Olympics. Denmark upsets the Czech Republic 2-1. And then we'll get into a slate of games that'll be going on over the next couple days. A lot of eyes on both the U.S. and Canada. I think Canada is probably the heavy favorite in this tournament, if you ask me. Obviously, Buffalo has a lot of stock in that between Devin Levi, who's having historic season, close to very, very much like what Ryan Miller did with Michigan State when he won the Hobie Baker. Numbers are very, very similar to his. And, of course, first overall pick, Owen Power. And then we'll get into the hiring of Martin St. Louis, NHL Hall of Famer, one of my favorites growing up, again, by the Montreal Canadiens as the new head coach. And we'll get into the Rocky Wirtz comments at the Blackhawks Town Hall. I got a lot to say about that, as DJ does too. So, DJ, we both had some digestive issues leading into this.
Yeah.
Hence why we got started so late. I think between both me and you, it may have entailed 5 to 6 bathroom trips over the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a rough go, but I'm ready to rock. Hopefully, if I disappear, we'll know why.
Yeah, I know, man. I didn't even eat anything bad. I had some mac and cheese and a couple of sandwiches earlier, and it's nothing that I think would have disagreed with my stomach. But Jesus Christ, man! The natural disaster was happening in the bathroom for the past half an hour. I think we're golden. I think we're good now. So nothing too much to worry about. But let's get right into it, man. Obviously, again, we'll start off with the Olympics. Big 2-1 victory by Team Denmark over the Czech Republic today, making their Olympic debut. And then I know that you were looking at the Olympic schedule between tomorrow and the next day. Sorry if you hear some squeaking. My dog is craving attention right now. Hey, quit it. Sorry, guys. Dom the dog's restless at 9:48 at night. If DJ can give us a quick rundown of the slate of games between over the next 48 hours.
Yeah, so later on tonight, in about an hour and 10-20 minutes, we got Latvia and Sweden. Tomorrow at about, 3:40 in the morning for all you early birds that can't sleep, Slovakia and Finland. 8:10 in the morning, so if you want to go into work late and watch some hockey, there is United States and China. And also Canada and Germany. And then late tomorrow night, again, Russia Olympic Russian Olympic Committee versus Denmark That's a weird one. I don't know the team, Russian Olympic Committee.
It's in 2014 at Sochi, they were banned for doping. Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, so yeah. They're not allowed to use Team Russia. It's the Russian Olympic Committee. So it's Team Russia. But yeah, it's I would say all eyes are going to be on Team USA and Team Canada. Again, Buffalo has a ton of stock in Team Canada. There are some names you will recognize at Team USA too. Maddie Beniers, Seattle Kraken, first round pick. Brendan Bryson, prospect for the Vegas Golden Knights, son of Pat Bryson, who is the agent to Jack Eichel, who helped orchestrate the trade between Buffalo and Vegas. And just a few other names too. Abdicator being one, former Detroit Red Wings draft pick. And again, this is the first time I think it was said since 1984, maybe 1984, 1988 that the U.S. has fielded a team full of amateur and college players, not a single current pro player on the team, I believe.
Was that the Miracle?
No. Miracle was in 1980.
80. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now.
I know that's yeah.
But yeah.
The roster is very young. It's good to get these guys some experience doing this. I like it. I'm interested to see how they play.
Me too. I love the Olympics. I love any type of international play. It was a bummer to see the World Juniors get canceled, obviously due to COVID. But I'm excited to see what these kids can do on the international level. And, I'm excited to see what Owen Power and Devin Levi can bring to the table, see if they can win, Team Canada, a medal, which I would expect they at least, they do make the medal rounds and win a medal. So, that being said, I think the subject that everyone wants to talk about is, of course, the Brad Marchand suspension announced today, 6 games. He had an in-person hearing for his roughing/high-sticking incident with Pittsburgh Penguins goaltender Tristan Jarry. Before we get into that, I'm just going to share with you right here real quick what exactly happened in case you've been living under a fucking rock for the last 24 hours.
McAvoy's drive, a save by Jarry, and he took a Billy Smith swipe at somebody. Smith, a couple of bids, Marchand bangs away. And Jarry makes yet another series of saves, and Marchand is hot.
Well, we showed you that exchange even in between periods, between Jarry and Marchand. Marchand's going to get an opportunity right here. Jarry makes a good stop, able to squeeze it with the left arm. Taylor Hall had an opportunity in there. Marchand comes in with a right punch to the side of the head of Jarry. That got reaction from all the Penguins as well as it should. And then Marchand, when he was trying to continue to go after Jarry, he reaches up with his stick.
Yeah. So that is the incident that took place last night in Boston. Tristan Jarry. It all started with Tristan Jarry finding a Pittsburgh fan in the crowd, and he tried to cradle a puck and throw it over the boards for him. Marchand, like the scumbag he is, skates by. Whacks the puck off his stick, which is kind of funny if you think about it, because I don't mind some personality in the league. Whatever. I'm sure the kid got a puck eventually.
Yeah.
But then a response like that, I'm sure Jarry said something to Marchand to make him go off, probably in response to the incident between periods. But still, you sucker punch him, and then as the ref is trying to skate you away, you throw your stick up at his head. Like, this guy's lucky he didn't get 10 games. Like, he's lucky he only got 6. Yeah, he's got a history too.
Yeah, and I'm actually more upset when I watched it and seeing it again. I'm more upset with I'm old enough to remember Marty McSorley. I know he didn't go like this and try to kill the guy, but the stick is a weapon. I that's dangerous, man. I don't like that at all. the punch in the head, it's whatever. Yeah, it's Marshawn being Marshawn. But that other, the stick was, you know, that's a weapon at that point. That's, you got to be careful. I don't know. Marshawn's just a piece of shit. He is what he is.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely is just a giant pile of shit. But for me too, it's like, I don't know, man. The punch in the head is garbage. You know, I know there's, you know, fightings and hockey and whatnot. And like, but I mean, first off, Jari doesn't see it's coming. Secondly, he's a goaltender.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't condone that. And I need a better reaction out of Pittsburgh for that too.
Yeah. Well, like, everyone's not going to do anything.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who's on the ice, man. You see your goalie get sucker punched in the side of the head and fall on all fours. Like, there needs to be a better response. I don't care who's on the ice, whether it's Crosby or the biggest tough guy they got. I'm not even sure who that is anymore. It used to be Mike Rupp. But
was it flashbacks of Lucic hitting Miller for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not the first time a Boston Bruin took liberties with an American-born goaltender. You know, like, and no one happened before. We know that all too well in Buffalo.
Nobody responds.
Such a scummy move. I'd imagine that the next time they play, I know sometimes, you know, you don't get the response you want right away because obviously both teams are pushing for a playoff spot. So I wouldn't expect it to be like all out right away. You know, absolute melee wherever the game takes place. You would expect, you know, if the game gets out of hand score wise, yeah, I would expect a response. But I'm trying to bring up the stats here for to see the standings to see how far apart Boston and Pittsburgh are in the standings. But I have to imagine that would play a part, DJ, in whether or not there's a retaliation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Let's see. Bruins have 55 points. Penguins have 64.
Yep. So, I mean, they're not the two different divisions, you know, Atlantic and the Metropolitan, but like, you know, granted, like playoff, there are playoff implications in these games. You know, every point matters, especially when you get into the second half of the season post All-Star break. You know, you're not going to want to put yourself in a situation, especially with Boston being 9 whole points behind Pittsburgh. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to play even further behind the eight ball. And, you know, now you don't have Marchand for 6 whole games. He is a huge piece to your team. You know, when he is playing at his highest level, he's near MVP caliber type of player. And to not have that guy for 6 games, that's huge. Like, you don't want to lose a guy like that. And
yeah, definitely.
What drives me nuts about Brad Marchand is he's so good. And don't get me wrong. I like the antics too. You know, it's true. You hate his guts, but you'd love to have him on your team. But for me, man, it's like, how many more points would you have a season if you weren't spending as much time as you do in the box or suspended? You know, like,
absolutely.
You know, you could still do that and not spend all the time you do in the box or suspended like you will be for the next 6 games.
Yeah, in the few games that they didn't have him earlier in the season and him and Bergeron were out with COVID, you know, I don't think the Bruins won during that stretch.
Nope.
So that's worrisome. You lose 6 games without Marchand, you don't point. You know, you got to hope to get a point per game at that rate. So it could be a huge down the stretch right now. You know, like you said, every game's important in the second half of the season. And now you don't have one of your most skilled players because he's an idiot and can't control himself. And, you know, you could be in some trouble in a few weeks.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look at, I remember I was looking at it earlier. He has a long history of suspensions too. I know he's only like, he's like 2 months removed, I think, from his last suspension too. The last time he was suspended, I'm looking right here. Staring down another suspension. Here it is from NBC Sports. I'm looking here. He has been suspended 6 times for a total of 19 games, and he's also been fined 3 times. His longest suspension came in 2011-2012 when he low-bridged Sammy Salo in the first meeting between the Bruins and Canucks since their high-intensity Marchand, you know, dominated. Yada, yada, yada. But again, suspended 6 times before this. You know, another time for elbowing RJ Umberger. Another time, he got 5 games for low bridge Sammy Salo, as mentioned before. Now this would be his longest suspension. Two games for slew footing, Derek Brassard. Three games for clipping, Mark Barowiecki. And then fines. And the guy has paid $2,500 here, $5,000 there, $10,000, $2,000, $5,000. So, I mean, I'm not a math whiz, but that's 10, 5, 20, 22, $24,500 this guy has paid total in fines. Not to mention, you know, when he is suspended, how often, when he's suspended, how often, you know, how much money in game checks he's losing then. We lost DJ there for a second. Unfortunately, we got him right back though. But as I said before, the guy has been fined $24,500 over the course of his career and now been suspended 7 times. You can't afford to lose a guy like that for a long amount of time. And like I said, I think he's lucky he only got 6 games here.
Yeah, I think, and he's got to be smarter. I mean, he's a talented hockey player, and you're not good. You're not helping your team by being suspended. You got to realize that someone has to talk to him and be like, yo, dumbass, like, why's up here? You're too talented and you're too important to the team on a nightly basis to do stupid shit and get suspended for dumb things. Like, there was no reason that he could have chirped, you know?
Yeah, there was no reason to do what he did. There's no reason.
He has to be better. He has to think better than that he's going to hurt his team in the long run by doing dumb shit. And he for whatever reason, he's not clicking. I don't know. He's a frustrating player because he is really good. Like you said, he's a talented hockey player, and to be that dumb and to not be able to control yourself in the moment is outrageous, especially this many times.
Yeah, I just the leadership group in that locker room, obviously Chara isn't there anymore, but you do have Patrice Bergeron, who's just named captain this past season?
Yeah.
Or was it last year, this
last year?
But like, I know Bergeron isn't like the type of guy who's going to stand up and rah, rah, everybody and get in people's faces, but he's got to be the guy. You got to like sit him down. Like, listen, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like what was the point of this?
Yeah.
Like why? Like why? Because he said something to you? Like you're an adult. Grow the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, even if not like Bergeron, why is like even a guy like McAvoy, I would look at him as a leader in that locker room and a tougher guy, you know, like get in Marchand's face and be like, what are you doing, you idiot? Stop.
It's got to stop. It has to. Like, I mean, you know, you could honestly, without him for the next 6 games, you could have honestly, that's going to affect you in the standings.
Yeah.
You know, he is the type of player that means the difference. That is the difference between winning and losing on any team.
100%. 100%. As much as you hate the guy, he's 100% that guy.
Yeah. You know, I would love to have a guy like him on my hockey team. And I'm trying to look up his stats right now.
I'm looking up their next 6 games. Their next 6 games are, they got Carolina tomorrow, the Senators on Saturday, the Rangers on Tuesday, Islanders on Thursday, and then the Senators again. So his first game back off the suspension would be, if I'm counting correctly, would be the Avalanche on Monday, the 21st.
So when do they play the Penguins again?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So the 6th game actually is the Avalanche game. So he'd be back against the Kraken on the 24th. And then they play the Penguins again. Oh man, it's not a while. It's a while. I'm all in March 24th. I don't think they play them again in the regular season.
Really?
It doesn't look like it. March 24th is the last game I'm seeing, and it's not the Penguins.
So. Maybe that's why he did it. He knew he wasn't gonna have to deal with any repercussions for it. You know, he's an idiot, man. And like I said, you know, he's having an unbelievable year. This season, 39 games played, 49 points, 21 goals. And he's having a great year to his standards, you know, the former third round pick. And now he loses 6 games. And, you know, this is, you know, come deadline's a little bit less than a month away. You know, this team is, they're not getting any younger. You know, their goaltending isn't what it used to be. You know, Linus Ullmark, Swayman, I mean, they're very serviceable.
Rask just retired today.
Yeah, that's another thing. Tuukka Rask, couple clicks for him. He retired today. Congrats on a great career. Guy's a class act. I never had any issues. One of the few Bruins I've always liked, Tuukka Rask. You know, classy guy. You know, hopefully, you know, I know he had issues with his rehab, with the hip surgery. And he even mentioned in his statement, you know, in his retirement statement that, you know, he knew going into this that, you know, what the rehab process would be like and that there was, that it wasn't going to be easy. And of course, you know, he just couldn't handle the rehab and then this, like, what it would take to come back in full capacity to play at this level. And the hips are no joke, man, for a goaltender. Like, yeah. You know, I've said it a couple times when it comes to UPL here in Buffalo. UPL has already had double hip surgery. Yeah. Like, he's going to have issues down the line in his career. And to deal with this already in his career, it's going to hurt him in the long term. So I feel bad for the kid, but you know, hopefully, you know, he doesn't deal with the same issues that Tuukka does over the course of his career. But good career for Tuukka Rask. Would have liked to have seen him, as much as I hate the Bruins, maybe have another crack at a cup, because again, Tuukka's one of the guys, goaltenders that I've always liked in the league, man. When he's on his game, he's absolutely phenomenal. There isn't many goaltenders in the league that are better.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, but again, Marchand having an unbelievable year and putting himself you know, in the stands, up in the press box for the next six games, it is really killing this team. And again, that's just how good of a hockey player he is. And, you know, he does have that instigating ability to draw penalties too. And they're going to be without that for the next six games. But again, as I said, like, you can still do those things and not do what you did last night to Tristan Jarry.
Yeah. It's just mind-boggling. It really is.
It is. Yeah, it sucks. Also on the slate, Montreal Canadiens really kind of surprised a lot of people today. Not surprising that Dominic Ducharme has been fired. I think he is like an 8-30 something. Yeah. You know, his record is outrageously bad. Yeah. Like, it's so bad. And it's wild too, because you come off a finals appearance last year and then you start this year. Let me see here. 8-30-7 season. They were in the finals last year. Now, granted, they've dealt with a ton of injuries. They don't have Carey Price, who is the backbone of that team. He's the anchor. He is the biggest leader. Yeah. Obviously, they lost Shea Weber to start the season. You know, it looks like it could be a career-ending injury. I haven't heard any updates on that. I'm not sure if he's going to be forced to retire or not, but they lost a lot of pieces coming to the season, especially from a leadership standpoint, when you think about Carey Price and Shea Weber not being there, and just a lot of moves they've made just haven't really worked out. And then to hear Martin St. Louis is brought in as the team's new head coach on an interim basis, like, that is a head scratcher, not because I don't think Martin St. Louis can't do it. The guy is a Hall of Famer. Guy is one of my favorite players growing up. That team with Tampa that he won with LeCavier, Brad Richards, Nikolai Hobby-Boulin, and that, like, that team was unbelievable, man. One of my all-time favorite teams. Yep. Just one of my all-time favorite teams to watch that wasn't a Sabres team. Just that team was so good under John Tortorella, beating Calgary in the finals. Jerome McGinley captained Calgary Flames. I think Mika Kiprusoff was the goalie too.
Yeah, I mean, I love that team. You say LeCavier, and it brings back such memories. Like, I tried to make my game. I'm a bigger guy. I'm 6'3". You know, I'm 235 pounds. I always tried to play like LeCavier. He was just sneaky. He had some silky mitts, and he looked like
he was a force, man.
He was kind of, in my opinion, like a poor man's Perreault. You know, Gilbert. Yeah. Like, he had those long strides, and it looked effortless. Yep. He was halfway down the ice. I mean, I love LeCavier. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah, dude, he was such a fun player to watch. And just like I said, pure definition of a power forward, man, huge, and had great hands and literally just could do what he wanted out there. And then you had St. Louis and Brad Richards, the secondary scoring on the team was unbelievable. And then Nikolai Hobby-Boulin, who I think, like, I remember I had like some weird fantasy hockey thing back when fantasy hockey was like first becoming a thing where you pick teams, and I have Hobby-Boulin. And he was the whole reason why I won that whole pool, is because it's his performance in those playoffs where I think it like 8 or 9 shutouts. It was something stupid. Yeah. But again, it's a head scratch. I think purely, I know they want management that can speak French. And, you know, obviously I would assume Martin St. Louis can speak French. So I think that was part of it. But also, the guy has no head coaching experience. I think he was a special teams coach under John Tortorella in Columbus. I mean, again, maybe a Tortorella coaching tree thing, but he's never been a head coach, and now you're going to put him in Montreal to be a head coach.
Yeah. Like,
I think normally when you hire and hire a new coach, usually the team kind of steps up in the beginning, and they did that under Granato. They played better right away.
Yeah.
But I just I just can't see. This is nothing more to me than a PR move.
I think my opinion on it is, I think that they bring him in. He's well respected, obviously Hall of Famer, or future Hall of Famer. Is he Hall of Fame already? I don't even know. But
yes, he is.
Okay, so he's a Hall of Famer. They bring him in, and my guess is they're bringing him in for morale in the locker room to try to make sure these guys aren't packing in with 35 plus games left, and I think it's just kind of like to make the team have some kind of morale, because you're at 23 points currently, I think they're at, and like there's not a whole lot to look forward to. So I think it's just it's about staying positive and looking forward. And I don't think he's there next year. If he is, I'd be shocked.
It all depends, I guess, on how he performs as the head coach. I mean, if anything, man, it's going to be fun for the first couple of weeks because, again, it is Martin St. Louis. Yeah. Guy is, again, an absolute legend. I can guarantee you one thing, Cole Caulfield won't be playing on the fourth line anymore, because if anybody in the world can relate to Cole Caulfield, it's Martin St. Louis, small guy who performed at one of the highest of levels in the NHL. So I would assume that Cole Caulfield, will be a top six, if not on the top line, absolutely. He should not be a fourth line player. That's, shades of Ralph Kruger, Jeff Skinner,
Shit.
Yeah. But, excited to see what comes from that, man. Again, we don't really know what to think, because I mean, St. Louis has never been a head coach. We don't know what we're getting ourselves into.
Yeah.
I think the only guy that can really answer that question is the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jack, or not, John Tortorella.
Yeah. And Torts and Tad Time's bad.
I said the former head coach of the Columbus Blue Jacks. I'm sorry. Former head coach of the Columbus Blue Jacks, John Tortorella.
Yeah. And Torts sometimes doesn't always know what he's talking about.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He thinks fancy Michigan-esque goals are stupid for whatever reason. I don't know. Trevor Zegras just continues to impress me and the rest of the fans in this league. So, but coming off that, I have yet to been able to get a chance to touch on this on an episode, but with the recent report coming out of of more victims of Bradley Aldrich, I want to touch on the Chicago Blackhawks town hall where Rocky Wirtz went completely senile and had an outburst after a Mark Lazarus question, which I know there's some history there between them two. I'm not too familiar with it, but I know there's some animosity. But Lazarus asked a legitimate question that should have been answered after being promised transparency from the team and the franchise and ownership, and he wasn't given it. But, again, for those living under a rock, this right here was the exchange between Rocky Wirtz and Mark Lazarus and another reporter.
I guess my question would be for Danny. I know we're looking forward here, but I think we have to look back also. And I think much of what happened to Kyle Beach stemmed from a power imbalance between a coach and a player and the powerlessness of a player in that situation. So what are the Blackhawks doing? What have the Blackhawks done? What will the Blackhawks do to empower a player in a similar situation to make sure that doesn't happen again?
I'm going to answer the question. I think the report speaks for itself. The people that were involved are no longer here. We're not looking back in 2010. We're looking forward. And we're not going to talk about 2010. I know, and I'm not either. And we're not going to talk about what happened. We're moving forward. That is my answer. Now, what's your next question?
I can pick up to what we are doing today. And I think
That's none of your business. That's none of your business. What we're going to do today is our business. I don't think it's any of your business. Because I don't think it's any of your business. You don't work for the company. If someone in the company asks that question, we'll answer it. And I think you should get on to the next subject. We're not going to talk about Kyle Beach. We're not going to talk about anything that happened. Now we're moving on. What more do I have to say? You want to keep asking the same question? You hear the same answer? Okay, ask the next question. Okay, good.
My name is Phil Thompson. I'm with the Chicago Tribune. You guys talked about a change in culture and transparency and demonstrating the new culture and values that are going to protect players and protect the organization in the future. And it seems like the second that we asked a question about that, it's met with resistance. So I'm going to ask it again.
I answered it.
No, I don't.
I answered it, and I told you to get off the subject. We're not going to bring up the report.
No,
you
I'm,
read
I,
it.
We're not asking about the report. We're
I know,
asking
you're talking about what the report
the new,
was talking about, and I told you we're moving on.
Now,
I don't like these.
The
I think you're out of line to ask this
future.
Line of questions. Why don't you ask about something else? Why don't you ask about the GM
okay,
search?
I will ask
Why don't you
about,
do something else?
Okay, I
Why
will
do you
ask
bring
about
up
attendance.
Old business?
Some of the season ticket holders that I've talked to said that they're having trouble maintaining value on their resale because, you know, a lot of people.
Is that
paying,
a fact?
Selling,
you, I didn't realize you're in our ticket department.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a fact.
Why, come on. Could, Let's if, talk about all the negative stuff. When
this
I talk about your
negative.
Paper and how,
people,
and what the sports page looks
dedicated,
like, should I do that?
No, these are dedicated.
That you can't
fans.
Even get our
they
elite scores.
Whole, Rocky, can I finish my question?
Because of look at the world we've been living in.
Yeah, so I think we lost DJ again, but listen, that was embarrassing. So fucking embarrassing on so many different levels, and it was a slap in the face to absolutely anybody who is a victim or a survivor of sexual assault. Because when you're promised transparency for something that happened where you legitimately, your organization, and I don't care if you fired those people and they're no longer in place, you know, whether it was Stan Bowman, Joel Quenneville, whomever it might be, doesn't matter who was there, you know, and if they're gone, does not matter. What matters is you promise your fan base and you promise hockey transparency. You promise survivors and victims of Bradley Aldrich transparency and honesty. And you did not only did you just not give that, but you pretty much spit in their faces. And you lied to them about everything you promised that you would do from that point forward. Rocky Wirtz is a senile old man, and he should step down. He should have resigned after that because that was so embarrassing. So, like, maniacal and embarrassing that you would sit there and have that type of an outburst. They weren't asking about what happened with Kyle Beach. They're asking about, you said you're going to take steps to make sure that this doesn't happen, that power struggle between player and coach where a coach can sit there and, you know, strong arm a player to his will the way Bradley Aldrich did to Kyle Beach and his other victims. And now this student that's coming out at, from my University of Miami, Ohio, where this student was literally sexually assaulted by Bradley Aldrich, you know, another victim. It's absolutely unbelievable, man. I can't believe it. And to have that type of an outburst, DJ, is just maniacal. You see Danny Wirtz try to step in, but couldn't because his father, oh, no, I got this. Eddie Olczyk was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I don't have no clue what's going on. And just like, that was disgusting and embarrassing.
Yeah, we've talked about this, and you know, me and you in private have talked about this, and we both, you know, have a lot to say about it, and we'll make a bigger show out of it at some point in the future. But yeah, I mean, the Blackhawks, what's going on there and unraveling is insane, and then to see that and him not want to answer the fucking questions is beyond bullshit. You know, well, I'm pretty excited because me and you have talked about like maybe doing like a round table with other people. People in Chicago market, some other people in the area.
It doesn't get talked enough. Doesn't get talked about enough.
It doesn't get talked. I mean, if this was the NFL, this would be all over everything. It's a sham that it's not being talked about. I just think it's such like it's not being talked about enough because it's an original six franchise, and they're put up on this pedestal by the NHL royalty or the old guard of the NHL. Who you know won't do shit to a Chicago team because they are an original six team, and then you got you know Wirtz saying what he said, and he just comes across as an asshole. I thought he was worse with the second guy, cutting that guy off, not even letting him answer the question, just berating him. So
yeah, and I get that, and the very next day, you have Rick Westhead, who's done an unbelievable job reporting all this since the beginning. You know, we won't even, you know. know, you know, his handling of it and how gentle, and you know, he's been with just Kyle Beach, but the other victims, and how he's been able to really tell this story as eloquently, I'm not sure if that's the right correct word, but as responsibly as possible to protect those that need to be heard. And then to come out and find out there's another victim, John Doe 3, and this story. And again, it's very disgusting. You know, I'm not going to get into details, but, you know, Bradley Aldridge essentially used his relationships with guys like Stan Bowman, Joe Quenneville, and the all-star players of like guys like, you know, Patty Kane and Jonathan Tavares. And, you know, he used those relationships he had with those people kind of like to put himself on this pedestal to this protege of his, I guess, who he also came out to as being, you know, as being gay. You know, he told him he's gay, and you know, it was almost confirmed by John Doe 3 that yeah, the Blackhawks pushed him to go to leave the organization and go there to, you know, because of Brian Burke's foundation. I forget it was for his son, which I forget the name of the foundation. I feel terrible about that, but if you can look that up for me real quick, DJ, Brian Burke's foundation, it's for his son, who, you know, who was openly gay and tragically died, but a foundation commemorating his son and kind of like making hockey for anybody, you know, in the LGBTQ community, like, you know, more accepting. So he was pushed to go there because, you know, that foundation was run out of that university.
It's called You Can Play.
You Can Play. Yes, that's what it was. You Can Play. It was Brian Burke's foundation in memory of his son to, you know, really make it more inclusive for the LGBTQ community. I keep butchering that. I can't say things like that fast, but the LGBTQ community to make it more inclusive for them. And, you know, they said, kind of said they'll be more accepting of him there, and kind of just push the problem off on them, where he went and had more victims, including John Doe 2 and John Doe 3. And honestly, DJ, there's more. Absolutely, there's more. There's so much.
It's not only the Blackhawks. There's more.
No, this guy has been all over the country. He's coached international teams. He's been around kids for I don't know how long. He's got a gold medal. He's got a silver medal, you know, as serving as coaches for international teams for Team USA. Like, literally, it's disgusting because this guy has the way he does, you know, grooms his victims. He has it down to an art, yeah, you know, and when you've had that much practice doing this, that means you've had a lot of opportunities around victims. So there's going to be more victims out there. And, you know, not that they should feel forced to come, you know, come forward, because every victim, you know, they need to feel comfortable telling their story and feel comfortable and ready to tell their story and not feel forced to. And I hope that they do feel the ability to tell their story someday, because, you know, I've mentioned before, I have skin in this game myself, and it sucks, man, to live with that type of darkness. And I really do hope that they feel like empowered by what's happening right now. You know, seeing Kyle Beach, the courage it took to come forward and then do an interview with Rick Westhead after he was essentially outed by the report from the Chicago's the private firm that they hired to do the internal investigation on the matter. He was essentially outed when they mentioned that it was one of the Black Aces. I hope that these victims feel empowered, you know, to tell their story, because it will be a immense relief for them. I would assume, at least, you know, I'm not considering assume how people tend to deal with those issues, but, you know, it's, you know, nobody should have to live with that type of darkness alone.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's such an important conversation. I could sit here for 2 hours and talk to you about it, and we can go into everything with everybody. And I think we need to set something up for a bigger scope on a different time. But it's, yeah, this is such a hot topic. And if it was the NFL or the NBA, this would be headline news on every station almost all the time.
Agreed.
And the fact that it's the NHL and it's just like, nah, it's what happens. I mean, I said to you the other day, me and you have both played hockey for quite a while. I mean, and we know what the locker rooms are like.
Yeah,
there's no hidden secret here that hockey locker rooms are probably a little bit more brash than most, but I've never seen anything that goes along the lines of what Kyle Beach experienced or whatever John Doe 2 and 3 experienced or anyone else that's been a victim of sexual assault. Like, yeah, is there joking and, you know, name calling and sure. Absolutely. But to go that far is not necessary in any realm, whether it's your job, whether it's, you know, professional sports, whether, you know, whatever, it's just not okay. And then these guys that are assaulted or women that are assaulted have to go, like you said, in darkness, they have to keep it inside and hold these awful feelings and everything that they have feeling inside of them inside. Cause otherwise they're castaways basically in society. Cause you're not supposed to talk about it, or you're supposed to be tougher than that. And that's the stigma of, you know, that this whole scope of things is this like stigma that you know, you can't say, and you're tough. Like you're a guy, you're a hockey player. You're not supposed to be, you know, gay, or you're not supposed to be, you know, open about sexual assault or whatever. It's just, there needs to be the stigma ended, not only just with like the sexual assault stuff or assault in general, but like mental health is another one. That's like Robin Leonard all the time. Mm-hmm. She defends it to his death. And there's all these things that need to be talked about that are not talked about, especially in the hockey community.
In
other sports, there's way more scope on it, but in hockey, professional and otherwise, man, I'd be hard pressed to find you 5 stories that have to pertain with any of this shit we're just talking about.
Yeah, I agree. And the one thing that needs to be said though, it's not their fault. Like, no, they didn't bring these people, they didn't bring this upon themselves. Bradley Aldrich is a sick, evil human being. Yeah. And he's a sick individual, and you know, I don't believe he's been incarcerated. I mean, I know he has been convicted of sexual assault and rape during his time. Might have been with Miami University of Miami in Ohio. I know he was arrested, did 9 months in jail for it. But it just, for me, it's just, you know, it's not your fault. People you put who are in positions of power use that power to make you feel small and make you feel like you have to, you know, adhere to them because of that power, you know, whether it's threatening playing time or threatening your career in Kyle Beach's situation, or, you know, maybe in the workplace, it's your boss, like they threaten your job, or, you know, the countless of other situations and scenarios. It's not your fault. It's not.
No.
People who are in positions of power use said power to get what they want from you. And it's disgusting. And that's exactly, you know, what happened here so many times. And Chicago had an opportunity to stop it from happening just with Kyle Beach. And because of them not taking that opportunity and doing the right thing, and that because they put a Stanley Cup over doing what was right. Thank God for people like Brent Sopel, who was willing to stand up years later and say, hey, no, this really did happen. Another guy who has a very fascinating story. Thank God for people like him, but like, because of the Blackhawks, there are more victims.
Oh yeah. This is, if the NHL wanted to dive into every organization, they'd find it across the board. Well, I'm sure.
Chicago did just fire back in November one of their athletic trainers because they were accused of sexual harassment. Just kind of weird how you announced that this week when after all this happens, rather not back in November when you did do it. It's just like you're not saving any face there, man. That's not going to work. Glad you did it. Glad you took responsibility and held somebody accountable and they lost their job over it. But it doesn't matter. Like that doesn't make up for this. Sorry, it doesn't.
1000%. Yeah, I mean, this is like I said, this could be a very long-winded conversation.
So yep.
I'm excited for the future convo about.
Yeah, this. Me too. Me too.
It needs to be addressed, and it needs to be properly handled, and it needs the attention it deserves.
Agreed. With that being said, though, obviously the Sabres are back in action tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Getting Sabres hockey back. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. But, I do miss him. I know we'll see Craig Anderson. Trade deadline is right around the corner. So, you know, it's going to be quite an interesting 3 weeks in the NHL. I think Vegas is going to have to find a trade partner to relieve themselves some cap, because Jack Eichel will be making his return very soon, it looks like. I was texting with Jesse Granger from The Athletic, who's the beat writer for the Vegas Golden Knights early, and he's flat out said, he goes, they're not going to hold him back. They're not going to try and pull a Kucherov and, you know, circumvent the cap and use Eichel in the playoffs when the cap doesn't matter anymore. They're not going to do that. As soon as Jack Eichel is ready to play, he is going to play.
Yeah.
And it looks like he is very, very, very close to playing. He's already playing he's no longer wearing the non-contact jersey at practice. He's wearing a normal jersey. So I'm excited to see what's to come for Jack Eichel and the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not ashamed to say it, because I think Jack Eichel is one of the best players in the world, and I think he's going to make that team a hell of a lot better. But I'm also I'm excited to see who they have to give up, whether it's William Karlsson, Laurent Broussard, the backup goaltender, is making $4.9 million a year, whether it's Riley, who's having a phenomenal season. You know, there's a number of names on that list that could be on their way out the door. I think William Karlsson, that's the thing, you're going to have to – for a guy who's making 5.9, who is not performing to that level to warrant that type of paycheck, you're actually going to have to especially if you expect them to take the whole salary, you're not going to get the return that you would expect if you're Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, you're getting a prospect and a low and maybe a low pick. I mean, you're not going to get anything crazy for them, especially if you're going to have to take the whole contract.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited to see who it is that helps. I hope it's Buffalo, because we have a ton of cap space. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, excited to get Sabres hockey back. I'm a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm pretty sure done going to the bathroom for the night. So, yeah, it was wild, man. I'll never, you know, I just never eat like that again, like I did earlier today. I mean, I only had a sandwich with some mac and cheese when I got home here, but, you know, early in the day, I did not eat healthy at all, and I just really paid for the last hour before we went live here. So, oh, God. I'm going to need a bidet after all this. Not even going to lie. Clean it all out. Any big plans for the Super Bowl?
No.
No big plans?
I won't even watch it.
You don't even want to watch? You're not over yet, huh? 13 seconds.
I can't.
Hey, man. But you want to know what, man? Josh Allen, as long as we have Josh Allen, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, we're going to be fine.
He's going to bring a Super Bowl to Buffalo. People are going to riot in downtown Buffalo during that parade. Somebody might die. Somebody might have to be sacrificed during that parade. Honest to God. Like,
he might be right.
Some type of human sacrifice. So, yeah, I think I am right. But, that being said, I got nothing left, man. So this has been fun.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on.
Really, no problem, man.
I mean, I've been dying to talk some hockey. We've been covering the Bills for most of the year, so I'm ready to dive deep into hockey now in the off season here, and I hope to have more conversations with you.
Yep,
I like it. So
yep, and just remember, if you want to find DJ, he's at The Real DJ Mock, right there, as you see on the screen, or you can find him at Bar Down Buffalo on Twitter. I know those guys are getting ready to come out with some fun stuff.
We're working on some fun content, some fun videos, and stupid shit that we do with 7-1 Blitz. We're gonna do with Bar Down Buffalo.
Yep. So, all right, man. Thanks for hopping on. Remember, this is brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case. Don't haste, buy a case from Outlet Liquor over on George Urban Boulevard for Sunday night for the Super Bowl. Make sure you get over there. They have a lot of great deals on your adult beverages, or for a Sabres game night or a matinee game, or just you're playing some pond hockey or pickup, whatever it is, man. You know, you're playing hockey, you're of age, go grab some adult beverages from Outlet Liquor. This has been episode 84 of Two Goalies, One Mike. For Cully, I am Dwayne, and this is DJ. We will talk to you soon, and let's go Sabres.
Let's go.
Hey, everybody, it's Dwayne from Two Goalies, One Mike, here to remind you that we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So please make sure you subscribe, hit the notification button, so whenever we go live or drop an episode, you're the first ones to know. And of course, can you give us a 5-star review? Really appreciate it. Helps us get noticed in the world of hockey podcasting. Does go a long way, and we really do appreciate it, and we appreciate you for listening. And while you're at it, please make sure you check out any of the podcasts with Trainwreck Sports Network and, of course, Dean Blundell's podcasting network. Guys have a ton of great content, great podcasts for you to listen to, no matter what like your forte is, what sport it is, or just, you know, music. You know, I know they have a ton of different stuff on all of their platforms. So make sure you check that out. And thank you for listening. And you guys have a great day.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.